Thank you, David. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Usually on Friday, we talk to Alex Zalbin, managing editor over at Decider.com. But because we're doing White Sox opening day, Alexander has agreed to come on a day early. How are you, Alexander? Thanks for doing this.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for moving around the White Sox schedule to accommodate me. I really appreciate it.
They were very caught. When we said Alex can't do it, they go, all right, you know what, we'll hold off a day. That was very nice of the White Sox to do. All right, I have to start out on something very serious. Is Deborah Norville okay? Do you know if Deborah Norville is okay?
I haven't heard about this story necessarily. I can certainly look into it for you.
She had cancerous growth removed mm-hmm. from her thyroid. She had announced that she is on the mend. I don't know that there's any conclusion
any
to
that?
It. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, just looking around at it, it seems like at least as of a day ago, she said that everything went great with her surgery and shared a photo of herself. So certainly with anything like that, you'll have to see how things go long term. But it seems like the initial operation went all right.
All right. And while we're talking about people and their health, Wendy Williams, is everything getting better there? Do you know?
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm throwing stuff at you that wasn't on the schedule. I'm just curious if anything has changed with Wendy Williams. But if you're not hearing anything, then that's okay. I'll look into it on my own.
All right.
I'll find a moment, a free moment, and I'll look into
it. She's really had a tough time, I will say that.
Yeah.
And the one report that I did read where she was kind of found out in the open and very intoxicated, that was on a Monday. On Tuesday, she went there to tape the show. I don't know how someone does that.
Right. Right.
And I did read that I thought she and her husband were trying to reconcile, but he had a baby with someone else. Yep. It's just really unfortunate.
Always a strike against you when you try that. All right, this is a new segment called Is This Person Okay? I don't know if we'll do it. We may not
sure,
do it every
you
week,
run down
Alex.
The rest of the celebrities, I'm happy to continue not to know anything about them.
All right,
as much as
let's
possible.
Go back to the scripted material then. The show is called In the Dark. I know Ben Stiller is involved behind the scenes. What can you tell us about In the Dark?
Sure. This is a new show that premieres on the CW tonight at 9 p.m. Ben Stiller is producing. Michael Showalter, who some people might know from the sketch comedy group The State, but he also directed The Big Sick, which is a hit indie movie, and Search Party for TV, is directing it behind the scenes as well. The idea is it's about a blind woman played by Perry Matfield, who you might recognize from Shameless. She is playing true to that show here. She gets drunk, she has sex, and ends up getting involved in kind of a murder plot. It's half drama, half comedy. I've watched the first episode, and it was, I know this sounds like faint praise, but much better than I expected it to be. Particularly if you like Search Party, it's more serious than that, but it's very similar to that show in terms of tone.
And it starts when? Is it already started or about to start?
It starts tonight at 9 p.m. on the CW, and it'll run every Thursday thereafter. I believe there's 6 or 8 episodes, something like that.
All right, and again, the name of the show is In the Dark. It premieres tonight. More superheroes coming from Marvel. Cloak and Dagger, kind of C-level material for Marvel, but what can you tell us about Cloak and Dagger?
Well, I can tell you they had a first season last year on Freeform. The second season premieres tonight with a double episode at 8 p.m. It's going to be the first 2 episodes of season 2. This show is phenomenal. I cannot say enough good things about it. It focuses on 2 characters who live in New Orleans, 2 kids named Tandy and Ty, who find out they're linked, find out they have powers, they're involved in a whole, as you assume with superhero stuff, apocalypse plot. But what I like to tell people about the show is it's a lot more like Friday Night Lights with occasional superpowers. It feels very intimate. Sometimes you almost feel like you're intruding on the characters' lives. It deals with racial issues in New Orleans. It deals with real issues. And I've seen the 2 episodes that are premiering tonight, and they are superb. Particularly the second hour is one of the better structured hours I've ever seen, hours of TV I've ever seen. It's great. Go back, binge the first season, even if you're not into superhero shows, and definitely get caught up tonight.
Why do you think for so long on TV there would be at the most 1 or maybe 2 superhero shows, but now almost any night of the week you can turn it on and see 1 or 2? What changed, do you think?
I think there's two things that influenced it. The first thing is pop culture as a whole. The Marvel movies are so huge. Even if the DC movies aren't as critically acclaimed, they're enormous. So TV wants to do the same thing, and it started wanting to pick up on that. But all of those shows have hit. They're very serial. They're the new soap operas. They suck you in completely, and the audience is very loyal to them. So that's the first part of it. And I think the second part is you had Arrow on the CW. It hit so big because it felt like the Marvel movies, very true to the superheroes, and fans responded to that. So that set the template for a lot of these shows. They could go darker on TV. They could go a little more serious. They didn't necessarily need to be campy like the Adam West shows. And now we're really entering a second wave of those shows that, like Cloak and Dagger, or I know we've talked about Umbrella Academy on Netflix, or Doom Patrol on DC Universe, these are all shows that almost eschew superheroics for most of the time, and instead deal with the psychologies of their characters. So they're dramas first and superhero shows second, and that's working really well as well.
Do you think maybe also technology catching up had something to do with it? Mm-hmm. When you look at the old Superman show, and he was flying, it just looks ridiculous now.
It does.
But, you know, the way,
cape kind of moved a little
so
bit.
Silly. It's so laughable.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point as well. You know, I remember back in the first season of The Flash, I talked to one of the producers behind the scenes, and they told me what was coming up. Now everybody knows this, but they had an enormous psychic gorilla called Gorilla Grodd was coming on there. And I remember saying to him, really? You're actually going to do that on TV? How are you going to do that in any reasonable way? And CGI is cheap enough now that they can do that. They can have a giant gorilla on TV and it doesn't look ridiculous.
Right, right. You mentioned Umbrella Academy, which we're huge fans of. Just got renewed for a second season the other day, huh?
Yeah, that's great news, particularly for fans of the show. It ended in a huge cliffhanger, and even if you're a fan of the comics it's based on, it's totally unclear where it's going to go next. They've already ran through a bunch of the storylines that were in the comic books, but it's a little bit of a darker family drama with superhero powers. Some big events happened at the end of the season involving Ellen Page's character, and I'm very eager to see what they do in season two and how they tackle it going forward.
I had a feeling it'd get picked up, but I was very happy to see it finalized, so that's good news. Alexander Zalbin's our guest. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. If you have a question or a comment, we're 312-981-7200. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Don't you wish you were back in school?
Yes. Yes. He looked good in the selfie, though, Wendy. Wait till you see him. All right, Alexander Zalbin is our guest. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. It's a great website. Do you like show business? Do you like entertainment news? Decider.com is the way to go. More things from the world of Archie's. We get to find out more about Sabrina. Now, this is part two, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit confusing. Everybody thinks it's season two. It's actually just the continuation of season one, but it's dropping Friday on Netflix with 9 new episodes. This is not Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like, you know, with Melissa Joan Hart. This is a much darker take on the character. Like Riverdale on the CW, it's a little sexier. It's a little more adult, but it's still very fun, very creative. I've seen a bunch of the new episodes. I haven't been able to watch the entire new part of the season yet, but it's so much more fun than the first part, which I liked quite a bit. It's very romantic. It's very creative. It's great. If you're a fan of the characters and you aren't a kid, definitely check it out.
Whose idea was it, Alex, to take Archie Comics, including Sabrina, and update it the way they did? Because whoever did really had it really hit gold.
Actually, a guy named Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa. He was a musical theater writer and a TV writer for a while. He worked on Glee. He also wrote the book, or actually repaired the book, for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, among other things. And he loved Archie Comics, began writing for Archie Comics through an Archie Comics Glee crossover comic, ended up working full-time for Archie, and he's the guy behind all of this. He had the idea to write a comic called Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that skewed much, much darker. It's fantastic. If even if you like the show, definitely check out the comic. And that led to a whole reinvention of the brand. It's been kind of amazing to see.
Did you think, like, at the outset of this, that this could possibly work? Because I remember reading a story that they're updating Archie, and I went, nobody wants to see this, and I couldn't be more wrong.
I remember very clearly I was at the CW upfront where they showed out the first footage of it, and even knowing the background of this, even having read Archie comics and read some of the more adult things that they have been putting out lately, you saw that trailer and it was just everybody had this expression of what? What is happening right now? What is going on with Archie and Betty and Veronica?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to take a shower, but it's so good and it's so much fun.
Do they know yet
really
about Luke?
Worked very well.
What are they going to do about Luke Perry no longer being with us? Have they answered that yet? Do they know?
That's one of the big questions coming up. They're certainly running out of episodes at this point. You know, I have nothing confirmed about this. I've certainly talked to a lot of other reporters behind the scenes. We all have suspicions that they've been re-editing the episodes a little bit because the scenes that Luke Perry has had so far on screen have been so powerful and so poignant and almost prescient in terms of what happened. And then he has been off screen for most of the episodes other than that. So we have another episode or two with him. But the question is, we don't know exactly how they're going to address it. We don't know what his last scene is going to be, where it's like, or if they've taken some footage and banked it for later episodes. So a lot of questions there, not necessarily any answers.
I have to throw out a couple of season finales I love. The Walking Dead, I know the ratings are down considerably. I thought this season was back on track, as you had mentioned, Alex. The finale was great.
Yeah, it was a much quieter finale than usual.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the episode before was the one with all the deaths and destruction, but I liked it a lot. I thought the season was very, very well done.
And This Is Us, everybody's tearjerker that you have to watch with a box of Kleenex. They did a phenomenal job in the season finale. There is a new season of that for sure, correct? Because, boy, they left a lot of stones unturned.
Yes, there absolutely is another season of that. I believe it's a 5-season plan at this point. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, there's more of This Is Us coming. No, but fans do not need to worry about that.
Is there any plans to combine This Is Us and Us, the movie Us?
That would be funny.
That would be great.
Yeah, next season, that's coming, 100% for sure.
So there'd be a second Pearson family out in the driveway who attacks the first Pearson family. That's a million-dollar idea right there. What is Unicorn Store? I've never heard of this.
Sure. This is a movie that is coming out tomorrow on Netflix. It actually stars and was directed by Brie Larson, Captain Marvel from Spain, and reunites her with a Captain Marvel co-star, Samuel L. Jackson. It's about a woman that tries to fulfill her childhood dreams of owning a unicorn, so she creates a store for it.
Yeah.
It's whimsical, it's cute, critical. Critics have been a little mixed on it. Our critic, Anna Menta, said that it's good for the performances, particularly if you're fans of them. It's a little twee in terms of the movie itself, but if you like Brie Larson and want to see more of her, it's on Netflix, so it's an easy 2-hour watch to check out tomorrow.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend coming to an end for the season or forever?
Forever.
Forever.
It's the last episode premiering on the CW tomorrow at 8 p.m. They have the final episode, and then they're doing a really fun thing for the finale. They've done over 150 songs that are totally original over the course of the show. So at 9 p.m., following the series finale, they're going to have a special called Yes, It's Really Us Singing, the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Concert Special. And I'll tell you, I actually watched some screeners of them last night. The finale is, you know, it ties everything up, but the concert special is so much fun. It's so good. It's just everybody goofing around, having a good time in front of a real live audience. They taped it at a theater in L.A., and it's delightful.
Here's a show, Alex, that I feel like I have been left out of because everybody I know who sees it loves it. I don't know why I never picked it up, but Killing Eve is coming back to TV for a second season. This is Sandra Oh's program, right?
Yeah, it's actually a kind of a two-hander between Sandra Oh and an actress named Jodie Comer, who is on a bunch of star shows like The White Princess and other things like that. It's about a sociopathic assassin serial killer and the law officer who is tracking her down, played by Sandra Oh. And it's almost a romance between them in a certain way. It's not exactly clear what's going on with the relationship, but it's very twisted, very dark, funny, emotional at points. The first season was only 8 episodes, so very easy to jump right in. But it's coming back with a new episode Sunday to BBC America at 8 p.m. And I've seen the first two of these as well. And if you're worried about jumping into the show and it falling in quality, you don't have to worry at all. The first two episodes, at least, are as good as season one.
Your description of it reminds me of the show that Kevin Bacon had. Was it called The Following a couple years ago, where mm-hmm. he was trying to find a mass murderer and it was a romantic battle to find him, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a little more comedic than that. Like, they certainly play for laughs a lot of the time.
Oh.
But it gets as dark as that as well. Like, it's very hard to nail down the tone of Killing Eve, and I think that's part of the reason people really like the show.
And that's Sunday, right? That's the first episode of season two is Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday at 8 p.m., and it's actually simulcasting on AMC or BBC America, so you can catch it on either channel.
I have a bunch of texts. What is the name of the first comic book show you guys were talking about just now? I don't remember the superhero / comic book show that you guys talked about.
Cloak and Dagger?
Okay.
Yeah?
There are about five texts for that.
Cloak and Dagger.
And what is the name and channel of the TV serial starting second season tonight, takes place in New Orleans, praised by Alexander Z? Do you remember what that was?
That's also Cloak and Dagger.
That's also Cloak and Dagger.
All right. See, yeah. You guys must not have specified what it was. There are 10 texts about this.
Yeah, it's definitely Cloak and Dagger.
All right, cool.
Yeah. And if we have time for one more, it's another movie about Bob Fosse, the choreographer, but this time he's being played by Sam Rockwell. This looks good. What can you tell us about that?
This is actually a TV series. It's on FX. It's premiering Tuesday, April 9th at 10 p.m. Sam Rockwell, as you mentioned, is playing Bob Fosse, and Michelle Williams is playing Gwen Verdon. It's called Fosse/Verdon. It comes from Lin-Manuel Miranda and a bunch of other amazing people behind the scenes. I've only seen the first episode. A couple of my writers have seen episodes beyond that. I'll say the first episode is one of the best first episodes of any show I've ever seen in my entire life. Particularly if you're a fan of musical theater, it goes back through the history of Fosse and Verdon, but you don't need to know anything about them. You can definitely pick it up through the show. It's so well done. It's so emotional and interesting and great. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
And that is also called Cloak and Dagger for people who are curious.
Thank you, Alex.
Everything is called Cloak and Dagger from now on out.
Alex, thank you so much. I know you had to rearrange your schedule for us, but we really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Yeah, sounds great.
Thank you.
Alex Zalbin from Decider.com. A break, and then we'll turn things over for the Wintrust Business Lunch. But first, coming up, the stories that matter from David Jennings in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.